As we prepare to open God's word together, I'm just going to tell you what the sermon is about right off, because it takes me a few minutes to get there. And if you're like me, you kind of want to know where you're going. So if I could retitle this sermon, I would call it this: Mirrors and Buckets and Bowls. I was not organized enough to get a hand mirror this morning. So imagine, if you will, that each of you have a mirror in front of your face, but you're not looking at your own face. You're turning it outward, because who you're looking at is reflected in you. What you're looking at is reflected in you. Buckets. We'll get to the buckets. And bowls. And we're going to stay for quite a while in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. And you might just want to memorize it this morning. Ready? It's not hard. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Got it? Let's do it together. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Mirrors, buckets, bowls. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Good. You could go home right now if you wanted. We'll hold on to that. So today at 10:30 is the day that we commission our new Stephen ministers. Some of you who've been around here long enough know what Stephen ministry is. If you are or have been a Stephen minister, could you just pop your hand up so that we can see? There are lots of you in this congregation. It's been here for over 30 years. You can put them back down, and thank you for your service. Every 3 years, we commission a new class, and this year we have 12 people being commissioned at the 10:30 service. These 12 people have been training and praying to serve our congregation by confidentially walking alongside people who are bearing heavy burdens, such as job loss, grief, divorce, illness. They're just a beautiful group of people. At our Stephen ministry meeting this past Wednesday night, we explored what it means to be around Christ, to be a follower of Christ, a Christ follower. And we explored specifically John chapter 21, where Jesus is taking a walk on the beach with Peter. Do you remember that? Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Feed my sheep. The last words that Jesus says to Peter when he's concerned about the other disciple is, "You don't worry about that other person. You follow me." He says it to his disciples in all of the Gospels when he's calling them. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." If you want to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross and follow me. Here's what Jesus doesn't say to Peter. He doesn't take Peter aside and say, "All right, now it's going to be really hard, but you're going to have to preach to a bunch of people, and then you're going to have to found a church, and you're going to suffer, and here's how you suffer, and this is what you do." He didn't give them any of those details. He said, "Follow me. Follow me." The first thing he says and the last thing he says. We'll ignore that. Sorry, there goes the bull. You may have noticed that in our culture, it's not always a cool thing to say that you're a Christian. And so some people who are Christ believers have started to call themselves Christ followers. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a person who tries to follow Christ. My husband, Evan, said once to me, "Sometimes I don't feel very much like I'm following. I feel more like I'm stumbling." Stumbling after Christ. Isn't that a great title of a blog? Stumbling after Christ. So, great. How? When we follow people, we hang around them. We start to look like the people that we hang around with. We start to wear their clothes. We start to dress like them, talk like them, think like them. And this is why your mother always wanted you to hang out with people who had good, reputable character. We reflect the kind of people that we're around, the people that we follow. We strive to resemble those we admire. And that brings us to our passage this morning, Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite chapters in Scripture that helps us to get a picture of what we look like when we follow Christ. I'm going to start in verse 9 and read till verse 13, but we're really living in verse 12. Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our purposes, I want to pause and reflect on 12. Have you memorized it yet? Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Mirrors and buckets and bowls. Let me explain. Some of you know that on Thursday mornings during the school year, we have a ministry for moms with young children, and we call it Oasis. And we gather together, and we very often listen to a teaching about what it means to be a parent or a mother. And one Thursday morning this year, we listened to a counselor named Julie Slattery, and she taught us that one of the primary roles of a mother is to teach her children about their emotional world, and that they do that by being mirrors and buckets. Have you ever seen a parent with a newborn baby or a one-year-old or a two-year-old? They get right up in their face, and what do? Whatever the baby's face is doing, their face is doing, right? They're teaching their babies what those babies look like. They're teaching their children. They're reflecting their children's emotions back to them. Something else a mom does is she holds a bucket. When I was about 5 years old, I have a very vivid memory of coming home after a very bad day of school and yelling at my mom because, you know, Carrie didn't want to play with me on the playground and Susie made me do homework differently and I got in trouble in class. And then, insult of all insults, there was a rotten banana in my lunch and it's all mom's fault, right? So I dumped it in her bucket. I didn't know what to do with my emotions yet. I brought it to her. Moms are mirrors and buckets. I believe that in a healthy Christian community, we are also mirrors and buckets for each other. So what do mirrors do? A mirror is made to reflect whatever it's facing. A mirror reflects the object or the person in front of it, and whatever the object does, the mirror does. That's what a mirror is. That's what it does. We reflect who we follow, what we're looking at. If I'm following the political news of our country, what am I reflecting? What am I showing to people about who I am? Probably high anxiety, right? If I'm following fashion, what am I reflecting? Maybe I'm good looking, but maybe I don't have a lot of joy because I'm always pursuing something. If I'm pursuing after financial security to the denial of other things, what am I showing the world? What we follow becomes what we look like. So it's our job to reflect to people a little bit of Christ as Christ followers, Christ stumblers, at least a little bit. And that is what it looks like to be joyful in hope. To be joyful in hope is to recognize that we reflect to others the face of Christ. It's kind of a high calling, but Scripture tells us over and over again, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In Colossians, we read, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. In another letter, we read that we reflect the light of Christ just as the moon reflects the light of the sun. We are together in this story with Christ. We're part of a bigger story, and we know that even though our story isn't always happy, that sometimes we experience sorrow and grief, we also know how the big story ends. And it's a good story. We have a sure and certain hope, not in ourselves, not optimism. We have hope because Jesus conquered death, and because he did, we're going to be okay. We don't hope in ourselves. We're stumblers. We hope in Christ. Christ is at the right hand of God, and he brings the joy and the hope. Our hope isn't in fellow human beings, not the government, not a good job. Hope is in Christ, and Christ does not disappoint. And so when we follow Christ, when we stumble after Jesus, we reflect our true selves, joyful in hope. I did not often listen to Prince, but after he died, there was a Saturday Night Live special on him. Did any of you see it? Okay, you don't have to admit that in church. That's okay. Prince often appeared on Saturday Night Live, and in 2006, one of his songs won a Grammy, and they played it for us about a month ago, and the song was called Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed. It was a beautiful reflection of the faith that Prince had as he stumbled himself after Christ. Here are the lyrics. Forgiveness is how you win the game. I begged for truth, and now I know the truth. And that's when you came to me and said, I was beautiful, loved, and blessed. I'm better than the day before because you made me confess that I am beautiful, loved, and blessed. When you're free indeed. All I needed was the potter's hand and the blood on Calvary. He got it. And in that song, we don't reflect God always, right? But in that song, he was able to reflect to us the joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. You are beautiful, loved, and blessed, and that is who you are. And that is what we want people to see when they look at us, that they are beautiful, loved, and blessed. Be joyful in hope. Second line, patient in affliction. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are bucket holders. I wish I had a bigger bucket. We all carry a bucket that retains things that our friends, our kids, our spouses, maybe our coworkers just can't bear on their own. We walk around carrying a bucket, right? And different people have different things that they need to put into our buckets. And when we hold buckets for one another, it helps us to be patient. And that's what Stephen ministers do. They come alongside somebody, they sit on a bench with them, and they hold the bucket. Okay, what you got for the bucket today? Be patient in affliction. One of my favorite psalms these days is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my trust. My soul waits for the Lord, more than a watchman for the morning. More than a watchman for the morning. So very much happens in our lives that are beyond our control. People get sick. We lose jobs. We endure disappointment. We live through affliction. And the psalmist knows it well. I think the psalmist had a bucket. My soul waits for the Lord, and in his word I put my trust. You've probably heard me talk about Psalm 130 before, but I love it so much, I'm going to say it again. What does a watchman do? A watchman stands on a tower and waits for the sun to come up and watches for trouble so they can warn people. But does the watchman cause the sun to rise? No. The watchman waits. Scripture is full of waiting. Be patient in affliction. Be patient in affliction. When I meet with people who have heavy burdens, I often describe Stephen ministers as the people who carry the buckets. They show up with a bucket and you put that load in and they listen and they listen and they listen and they reflect hope back, joyful in hope. Joyful in hope and patient in affliction can happen at the exact same time. But no one person can carry that bucket, and that's why there's a bowl on the floor here. You're going to have to imagine I'm holding it, okay? I'm holding a bowl. This is what Stephen ministers do with the bucket. They dump it into the bowl, and the bowl represents faithful in prayer. What's the function of a bucket? A bucket is used to transport things. It's used to carry things. How many of you have been a part of a bucket brigade, right? Carrying water up at a construction site. Or you use a bucket to empty out your dirty water after you mop. Or you use a bucket to carry trash. You use a bucket, you fill it, because you intend to empty it at some point. We empty those buckets into the bowl, which is really found in Revelation 5 and verse 8. There's a beautiful image of elders in heaven gathered around the throne of God, and it says, they hold gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. You love that image. Faithful in prayer. I love the thought that our prayers are present in the place where God physically is. Romans 8:34 says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Even now, Christ intercedes for us." And Hebrews 8:25, "Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Ruth Haley Barton is a spiritual director, and she has this to say about intercessory prayer. "Intercessory prayer is not about thinking that I know what someone else needs and trying to wrestle it from God." I'll say that again. "Intercessory prayer is not about thinking that I know what someone else needs and I'm trying to wrestle it from God. Rather, it's being present to God on another's behalf, listening for the prayer of the Holy Spirit that is already being prayed for that person before the throne of grace, and being willing to join God in that prayer. When we pray, we are saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I agree with you. I want you to work in the life of this person I'm praying for. Here's all that stuff from their bucket. Receive it as incense from a golden bowl. Mirrors reflecting who God is, and buckets patient in affliction, and bowls faithful in prayer." What's the verse? "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." That, my friends, is our job as we stumble after Christ. May he have grace and mercy, and may we be able to grab onto that grace and mercy as we attempt it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you desire us to reflect you. Thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy, and that we can put our hope and our anchor in you. Thank you that this allows us to be patient in affliction. Cause us, Lord, to be faithful in prayer, trusting that you are even there praying for us right now at this very moment. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.